To God be the glory for the things that he has done. I truly stand in awe of the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, and he is the reality of our life. I will have to get my glasses. I had to use this to keep them clean. I didn't have a cover for them. There came a woman sent from God whose name was Christina. And if you remember that, several Sundays ago, Apostle Bob shared John 1 and 6 with us, and he said, put our name in there. And that's exactly what I've been doing. And I have felt such the presence of God, even in a more profound way, to know that he named me as one of those that he has sent. Songs 138 and 2, I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to you, to your name, for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. And the second part of that verse read this way in different translations. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. For thou hast magnified your word together with your name. For your promises are backed up by all the honor of your name. And I truly give glory to God for his name, for Jesus. 1 John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If we are true lovers of God, we have to be true lovers of the Word of God. John 6:63 said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. So every time we read the word, every time we hear the word, every time we repeat the word, every time we meditate on the word, they are releasing spirit and they are releasing life, the very Zoe life of God. The word Holy Spirit wanted me to minister on is let. Philippians 2 and 5 in the King James Version, it says, let, L-E-T, this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The word let means to allow, to permit, not prevent or forbid. So that this verse could read, allow, permit, do not prevent or forbid. The word let is mentioned 13 times in the very beginning of scriptures over in Genesis 1. The first time it's mentioned is in verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So something happens when you let. And the last two times the word is mentioned in Genesis 1 is in verse 26. And it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And that's exactly what happened. God is still speaking, let me, allow me, permit me, don't prevent me or forbid me, but let me. For if we let it, God will do it. It is not by power or by might, but it's by the Spirit of the living God, and his Spirit lives within us, but it's by his Spirit. The word let is like a two-edged sword. There are times that we have to let, and then there are times that we have to let God. How many times have we heard Apostle Bob say, we have to say what Mary said? Let it be done unto me, Lord, as your word have spoken. And let's read just that account in Luke 1:38. And it says, and Mary said, behold, this is what Mary said, the bondservant of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. In a different Bible translation, the word for may it be done reads, let it be done. Mary knew who she was and whose she was. She was a bondservant of the Lord. God desires our response to him to be as Mary was. As women of God, we too must say, yes, God, let it be done unto me, even as your word has spoken. Now, can you imagine what would have happened if Mary didn't say let? God had chose her to carry Jesus. Can you imagine? I can't imagine, and I don't even want to imagine. But guess what? The same let that God wants you to say is just as significant. Because we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how do you think it's going to get in earth? It's going to get in, it's through us that it's going to get in earth. Apostle Bobby said, we're trying to get out of here. No, and God's trying to keep us here because he has something to say. Even Paul said, hey, I'd rather be with the Lord. But for your benefit, and that goes for all of us, our sphere of influence, our children, our loved ones, just people in the marketplace. We have a specific purpose and destiny that is significant. We can't pick and choose, and I used to, what scripture fits our fancy or are convenient for us. Matthew 4:4, but Jesus said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that is proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So when you eat something and it don't fit your fancy or your convenience, guess what? The Lord already told us, we will not just live by bread alone, but by every. And every word is just like all. What do all mean? All. And every means every. Okay, let's read some scriptures. And most of these will be out of the New American Standard Bible. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and as a result and glorify your Father whom is in heaven. This is the purpose of letting our light shine. It's not about us. It's all about him. That song we used to sing, woohoo, it's all about you. It really is. It really is. Many times to keep myself, my flesh admit it. Like Paul said, I die daily. It's all about him. Our life is all about him in every aspect. Matthew 5:37. But let your communication be yes, yes, or no, no. No middle ground. Matthew 11:15. He who has an ear, let him hear. Now, how many of you in here have an ear? Okay, so that means you're hearing. Amen. Praise God. Me too. Matthew 16:24. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself. When we come after Jesus and want more of Jesus, the word of God says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now that could be in different forms. It could be something you don't want to do. It could be something you don't want to submit to. It could just be an array of things. But he said, hey, take up your cross and follow me. And guess what? He already did it. We don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points. But yet he was without sin. And guess what? We can be too, because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. If we just let it. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, the word of the Lord admonishes us to give the most earnest heed to what we hear, lest we let them slip. That means we can't let them slip. And we know life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's how you let the word of God slip. Stop confessing it. Stop speaking it. Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore fear. Okay? Now, throughout scriptures, there's so many places that God say, do not fear. This is not that same fear. This is the fear of the Lord. This is a reverential fear of God because he's good and because he's God and because he's worthy. Lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Don't come short of it. You don't have to. What can cause us to enter? What can cause us not to enter into the rest of God? Doubt and unbelief. How many times do we see in Scripture, in the Old Testament, in Hebrew 4, you know, they couldn't enter in because they didn't believe God. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. But God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, because they believe that he is God, and he is. They all heard the same word, but it didn't profit them. That's right over in Hebrews 4. Why? Because they did not mix it with faith. You cannot hear the word of God and say, let me think about it. Does that sound right? No, you can't. You have to mix it with faith. The same way when you got saved, you didn't see Jesus, you didn't see God, but you believed the word that you heard, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever come will not perish but have everlasting life. And what do? We repent and we say, yes, we invited Jesus into our life. And that's the same faith, because you heard it and you believed it. Hebrews 4 and 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Jesus has already passed through. He said, it's finished. So let us hold fast to that confession. Hold on to it like for dear life. Because he said, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulation. But as he overcame, we can overcome because he's in us. So we have to hold fast to the confession of our faith. Hebrews 10, 23 and 24. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. You can't believe God today and then you don't believe him tomorrow. Because over in James said, you're tossed to and fro. He said, let that man think not that he will receive anything from God. For he who promised is faithful. God is faithful. And I know we can all attest to that down through the years and in our life and in our loved one's life and in our friend's life, the faithfulness of God. And he doesn't want us to waver from that. He wants us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And what is the work of the Lord? To believe. Okay, let's go back to the Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This truth is key and very foundational of all the other lettings. Because without the mind of Christ, you left with your own mind. What is the mind of Christ? To do the will of God. John 5 and 19. Jesus said, truly, truly. Okay, now when you see words twice, that's like, behold, behold. That's like, look, look. I say to you, daughters of the Most High God, the Son can do nothing of himself. This is Jesus. Unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. And God have left us this whole book to know what he's doing. I love last week or the week before the way Apostle Linda said, our phones are great, you know, our computers are great, but it's something about this written word. You know, I remember there was a day that we carried our Bibles everywhere we go. You know, and the Lord had dealt with me several months ago. And then when Apostle Linda said that, it's like, so be it. Yeah, the phones might be lighter, this, that, and whatever. But no, because so many times, because of those phones, we Google this, we Google that. You know, we just bypass the word of God because we think the Google knows it all. Wrong. This word was whenever before there was a Google. So when there's a situation, a problem, a circumstance in our life, we need to say, what does the word of God say? Not what do Google say? Jesus had the mind of God, and God wants us to have the mind of Jesus because they're one. And Jesus prayed that we would be one with him and the Father. And guess what? We are. John 5:30 in the translation Bible, the first part, nothing I do is for my own initiative because I can do nothing on my own except to fulfill the desires and the will of my Father who sent me. Okay. Now, women, sometimes we're notorious because we've did that, been there, whatever. We think, I got this. You know, yeah, I might pray about this, but this right here, God, I got it. No, we don't have it. Even Jesus, I mean, he was the Son of God and he was the Son of man. Okay? Now, surely if Jesus said he does nothing on his own initiative, we need not to do nothing on our own initiative. He said, acknowledge me in all of your ways, and he will direct your path. He will make it straight. And then he said, his desire. What is your desire? Jesus said his desire, and it's definitely my desire, is that the will of it, it says, because I can do nothing on my own except to fulfill the desires, the will of my Father who sent me. So that should be our desire. That should be our will, to do those things that God has imparted and those things that God has spoken. What is something else you have to do to have the mind of Christ? Humble yourself. Philippians 2:8. And being found in fashion as a man, this is Jesus, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Good News translation says, he humbled and walked the path of obedience. God will happen in Jesus because Jesus humbled himself, even unto the death of the cross. And we know the scripture about the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, Father, is there any? But then what did he say? He said, not my will, but your will be done. And when you find yourself in a hard situation, the Bible said the word of God was written for our admonition and our nourishment and our admonishment. Why? That we might not err in the same way that we see some did in the days of old. But there was great grace and they had great faith. And like Jesus, we must humble ourselves to the death of our flesh. And we all know the last several years that we've been talking about the old man and the new man. And the Bible says, take off the old man. You know, we said, oh God, you know, help me. Yeah, he's helping you. He said, take off the old and put on the new. And that's according to his word. Another thing we have to do to keep the mind of Christ, keep growing and stay teachable. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay? This is what we are to grow in. We're to grow in grace and we are to grow in knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the Word of God. Knowledge of the revelation of Jesus. Jesus knew God's way was the best way. That's why in that garden he could say, not my will, but thy will be done, in spite of knowing what was coming. So for us to do things God's way, we have to believe that his way is the best way. And a lot of times, because we don't believe, we do it our way. But then we find out that wasn't the way. Because the word of God said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus prayed, not my will be done, but yours be done. Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies. This scripture, I have to stop right here. It's like, Father, you know, and this was early on when I got saved, and even now, you know, the Lord say, obey every word that proceeded out my mouth. It says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. This is living in the kingdom of God. And as women of God, this is what God is requiring for us to do, and a whole lot more. It's all in here. A practical example of how to let the mind of Christ be in you, because I love practicality. You know, I'm a visual person. I love simplicity. So I said, I'll just use myself, LOL. I was upset with Virgil, and I wanted to tell him a thing or two, maybe three things. But I heard the Holy Spirit say, don't say that. I said, God, I just got to say it. I did. I mean, who has a temper tantrum at whatever age I am? Holy Spirit said, no, don't. And at that moment, I get to choose to have the mind of Christ or the mind of Christina. Remember, the mind of Christ is to do the will of God. Now, that isn't to say we never speak things that need or should be said. Of course we do. But we don't say it if the Holy Spirit says no. No matter how it's burning, it's like, no, they got to know this. No, I got to bring him understanding. No, 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 no. Because God knows the end from the beginning of that thing. You know what I'm saying? He knows the repercussion. You think, no, after I send him straight, he'll be on straight street. No, no, no. You know, the Holy Spirit knows. So that's why we got to obey. We have to obey. And like I said, but if Holy Spirit say no, that's what got to go. Colossians 3:16 in the Passion Bible, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. And in doing so, and in meditating and loving and reading and thinking about the word of God, that's how the word of God can dwell in us richly, and it will flood us with all wisdom, even in those circumstances that we just want to take over. Again, that isn't to say we never speak things that need to be addressed or share our feelings. I used to hear the old people say, it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. And even over in Proverbs 15, it says a soft answer turns away wrath. Yeah. You know, we don't, you know, have to, you know, show how strong we are. It's a long story. One day I have to share. Colossians 4:6, let your speech, and this was right in the scripture, always, and always is like that word, you know, all. It says, let your speech always be seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt. Ephesians 4:29. So God, he even tells us how to talk, you know. I mean, wow. Now this one, Ephesians 4:29 in the Amplified Bible. It says, do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as it is good for the building up of others. Everybody's included, according to the need and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you speak. God has blessed us to be a blessing. Remember, Peter had to change his speech to deny Jesus. So we do have a certain lingo. We do have a certain verbiage. You know, when they were saying, oh, yeah, he was one of the disciples. No, 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 no. But they knew it by his speech. And so, we know what Peter had to do to say, no, no, no. But nevertheless, so we do talk a certain way. This is the year of the mouth. Not only in a public or in a church platform, but in our homes, our jobs, the marketplace, and the secret place of our heart. Because self-talk can, you know. We should be declaring, speaking what God is speaking. Now, this scripture is the LOL, and take the case. Proverbs 25:24, it says, it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a contentious woman in a whole house. And I said, oh my goodness. Now, this is the word of the Lord. Better to dwell on the roof, not even in a room, in another room, but on the roof. And I said, oh God. But that goes to show you the power of words. And he said, women. And then I looked up that word contention, and it says contention is to cause an argument or to have a heated argument. You know, we can't just talk regular, to be vehement, a fierce, violent, intense. It's like intense. It's like, oh my goodness. But the word of the Lord has let us know. I just said, yes, Lord. Because really, we do set the atmosphere in our home, you know, and we can make it so sweet, you know, just full of the goodness of God and the peace of God and with the words that we say. Yes, because I remember one time the Lord, and I really wasn't being hard in my estimation. The Lord said, no, seriously, no. And I say that because, see, if you've been through some things, even in the old season, it just has a way of, you know, kind of changing some things. But guess what? It's no time out when it comes to God. He said, don't be so hard on Virgil. I was like, what? You know, but that's what he said. And that's what I did. And guess what? We're really happy. Now, ladies, this is like a special word of the Lord for you. He just love y'all. And these are, you know, it's a, I put this in some tissue. I can't even see all of these. But the Lord he's working it out for me. So if you see me taking them on and off, yeah, because like, okay. But no, God is so good, and he loves us so much. You know what I'm saying? He really, really does. Yes, thank you. And he said that perfect love casts out fear. And I used to always read that scripture, and it would baffle me because it's like, Lord, apparently my love's not perfect. I'm not receiving his perfect love. It's not even our love. And because I was still fearing some things, you know, and then, you know, just immersing myself in the word and, you know, in Sunday morning service, in life groups, in connecting points, more and more and more. One day, I don't even know when it happened, but it was spectacular. No matter what came, no matter what went, even when I had that fall on Sunday, all I felt was the love of God. Amen. And it's like, thank you, Jesus. There was no fear, you know. I mean, this has been a few months, and it's like, oh, God, I see what you're talking about. Because his love is perfect. Because he said, fear hath torment. You know? His love for you is perfect. His love for you is unconditional. And even when you mess up, it's still perfect love. He said, a righteous man falls 7 times, and I'm not advocating as falling. But he gets back up. He said, where sin abound, grace much more did abound. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Because when you raise in a certain household that you have to be perfect, other than that, you know, nice things don't happen to you, it sits you up, really, you know, for later in life, you know, for a failure, because you think, oh, if I don't please God, and we are to please him. I know you know, you hear what I'm saying, you know, but when we know that his love for us is perfect, that he could not love us, he could not love you, he could not love me any more than he loves us right now. That's freeing. That's freeing. Oh, God, you know, I didn't read my scripture today. Oh, he still love you? He said, therefore, now there's, and I'm not saying don't reach a scripture. I'm saying, the Bible said, therefore, now there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And that's why we have to live our life according to the word of the Lord. You know, there's freedom, there's liberty. You know, I always felt as though, oh, if I don't do and it's impossible. You know, I mean, the little things, you know, do everything right. Oh, God was just waiting for me. That was a lie from the enemy. His love is perfect. And I'm so glad about it. Boy, I'm happy about it. And so God, he wanted me to share something. It's from his heart to your heart. Oh, these are so much better. Thank you, Anna. Oh, my goodness. And you know what? And you know what? That's just a perfect example, because sometimes what we do when trials and tribulation and tests and just life you know, just hits you upside your head. We can't allow the word of God to become a cloudy that we can't see. He said, wear his word as an eyelet. We don't look at our problem and then look at God. No, we look at God and know, is that it really a problem? Because why? There's nothing too hard for him. It's really not. I heard God say that he is asking you to do something. And if he hasn't, he's going to. And you have said, God, it is just too hard. I can't do it. I just can't. God said, yes, you can. You can do it. I ask you to do it because I know you can do it. For I have placed everything in you to do my will. I have placed strength, endurance, joy, peace, wisdom, my grace in you. Whatever you have need of, I have already placed inside of you. I know you, my precious daughter, that you can do my will, but I need your permission for my will to be done in you. And before I go on, the Holy Spirit just brought something back to my mind, and apparently I left that note at home. But the same way when you're in the hospital and the doctor says you need to have surgery. Now, you have to give consent to have that surgery. And if you don't give your consent, then they're not going to operate because that doctor is not going to violate your will. Well, guess what? If we don't say yes, Lord, let it be done unto me as your word has spoken, he's not going to violate your will either because he made us free will. He said, whosoever will let him come, even receiving him, it's our will. And God wants your consent to do his will. With God, you have to give your consent. You're let it be done unto me. But if we don't give God our consent, how can it be done? The same way, like I just said, if you tell the doctor no, then he's not going to go and just do it anyway. God said, my precious daughter, I need you to tell me, let it be done unto me as you have spoken, God, that in which you want me to do. And if each of us know what that is, and as we submit ourselves to God, as we just say yes to God, then he's the one that does the work. Amen. It says that we are his workmanship, created unto good works. So everything, a lot of time when the Lord asks us to do something, it seems that's just too much. That's not what I want to do. But when you know that is God, then God will give you the grace, the supernatural grace to carry you through. And I just want to end with a few more scriptures on let, because this is what the word is about today. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also, this is so important, lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12:1. And there are things in our life, they're not even necessarily bad things. But God said, no, no more. Where I'm taking you, they can't go with you. So he said, lay it aside. Because it will entangle you. It says, and if there's any sin, it will entangle you. He said, lay it aside. Why? That you can run with endurance. Because when we don't lay it aside, it's like carrying sandbags. And that's hard. And he don't want that. And guess what? We don't want it either. It says, Romans 6:12, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies that you obey its lusts. Why? Just say no. You know that commercial? You know, when back in the day when they were selling, just say no. Because whoever we yield our members to, whether it be unto righteousness and unrighteousness, that's who's going to rule. And our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So he's the ruler. Romans 12:9, let love be without without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil, cling to that which is good. Again, the word of the Lord just lays it out for us to know exactly what to do in every situation and circumstances. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful. That's what God wants to rule in our heart. Not concern, not worry. What about this and what about that? I remember several years ago, and so much was going on in my life. I said, God, what about this and what about that? He said, what about it? You know, it's like, right, you're right. He said, trust me. You know, that scripture, trust me with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, because that's where we trip up. We're trying to make sense of that. We're trying to bring some understanding to that. Guess what? Some things you're just not going to know. But the main thing, you know him. And we know that we win. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ, and I said that, so apparently I'm supposed to say it again. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, to live in you, to abide in you. 1 John 4:16, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That's 1 John 4:16. I might have said that. I don't know. Let the weak sound strong. That's a good one. When you feel weak, he didn't say let the weak sound weak. He said let the weak sound strong. Amen, because that's the confession of our faith. And that's in Joel 3:10. The latter power. Galatians 6:9. Let us not lose heart or grow weary in well-doing. I've been doing this for so long, and the Lord said, just keep doing it. Amen. For in due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary. Now, wouldn't it be a sad state of affair that you've been doing it for years, the good deed or whatever God wants you to do, and you just give up? And then your blessing was like right there. And we don't do it for the blessing. We do it because we love God. But the word of God says, it says it, that don't be weary in well-doing, you know, and for us not to faint, because what'll happen? Then you won't even get it. He said, after we've done the will of God, we have need of endurance, of patience. But guess what? It's not going to tarry, because he that promised is going to bring it to pass. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, did you hear what that say? Come to the throne of grace. He didn't say pick up your cell phone and call your mother, call your girlfriend. I'm telling you the truth. So many times, that's what we do first, you know, because my daughter, she's learning the lesson. She goes through all these steps, and she realized God had the answer all along, and that's why he said to come boldly. In other words, he invite us to come. To what? To obtain mercy in time of need, or whatever we have need of. Okay, I heard the clock. Let me go. Let brotherly love continue. Let patience have a perfect work. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Yeah.